You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
There's a war on Christianity, not just from the liberal elites here at home, but worldwide. And your government, or more correctly, you, are having to pay for it.
What was done in Philadelphia was reprehensible, and everybody condemned it. As a practicing and respectful Catholic, this is sacred ground to me when we talk about this.
We are indeed treading upon sacred ground, but it's because we're dealing with the sanctity of every human life.
You have no strength in yourself. Let that be of comfort, because then that means your strength is found only in God's love in Christ for you.
I'm Derek, the tea guy from Seward, Nebraska, who drives his truck through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and I rock Issues Etc. the whole way.
The headline reads, Most Men Aspire to Be Dads, poll finds. It's Associated Press WeTV poll says that 8 out of 10 men say, this is, to me, I find this a little bit surprising, especially in the proportion that it is. They have always wanted to be fathers, or they think, if they're not, they'd like to be fathers someday. Actually, edging out the number of women who have the same sentiments about motherhood. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, the 19th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Oback-Morse joins us for the first few minutes to talk about a new survey on men and fatherhood. A little bit later, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, will be our guest. We're going to talk about the Payne Unborn Child Protection Act that passed yesterday in the U.S. House, and then we'll round everything off today talking about the purpose of singing in the church. Pastor Richard Futrell will be our guest. He's authored a recent article titled Why We Sing What We Sing in Church. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is a regular guest, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she has authored the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
This AP poll says that men actually want to be dads more, a little bit more, than women want to be moms. Are you surprised by anything you read in this poll?
Well, it's a little surprising, but I think it points to the fact that women have been told that motherhood is beneath their dignity. You know, I mean, we have a kind of split personality on the subject, you know, that women are being told that, gee, don't waste your time, don't waste your intelligence, don't waste your education becoming a mother. But on the other hand, we're telling fathers, we're telling men that, you know, we need you to be more engaged. We want you to be more engaged. And, oh, by the way, women can have babies without you. And so if you're not a full participant, they can kick you out if they feel like it. You know, so there's a lot of sort of mutually contradictory and incoherent things going on in our culture. And I think this poll kind of reflects that.
We've talked about this before, that the popular picture, especially the popular media picture of men, is of kind of barely evolved above the brute, but his greatest goal in life is to perhaps sit with his stomach hanging out, watching a football game, drinking beer and burping all afternoon, something like that. He's very useless to his wife, and even more useless to his children. But it doesn't sound like that those are the aspirations of most American men.
Well, you know, I think every human person wants to be loved and wants to give love. That is the ultimate human vocation, and every single human person is called to that. Only Christianity affirms that positively and forcefully. And so I think what you're seeing in this poll is that all the things men are supposed to value aren't doing it for them, you know. And so the aspiration to love and be loved is emerging as something that's a value to them. Now, what that poll doesn't ask is, you know, what are you willing to do to be a father? You know, are you willing to forego sexual pleasures now in order to be a better father later, to be a better husband and father later? Are you willing to do that to find the woman that you really want? Are you willing to, you know, what are you willing to give up to make it happen to be a good father? So they're not asking that. There might be a little bit more teeth to the poll if you had some way of asking that. But I think for men to be saying, yes, I want to be a father, is, and yes, it's important to me, and I've always wanted it. I mean, I think that's speaking to something that's deep within every human heart.
Does the natural order, we talk about these things with you on a regular basis, natural marriage, the natural structure of the family, the natural order of parenting and children, does the natural order have a certain resilience that regardless of how often it is attempted, either in law or in the social fabric, to disorder it, to reorder it, it kind of wants to bounce back to its natural state?
You know, it does kind of reassert itself, and one of the ways it reasserts itself is when people actually do become parents. So, you know, I hear this all the time, Todd, that people have these ideas that they get at college, ideas about men and women being interchangeable, ideas about, you know, you can really leave your kid with daycare and it'll be okay, and, oh, I'll do as much as my wife does, and, you know, all these different things that people are taught and socialized to believe are true, and then the baby comes along and they look around and they go, what? What were we thinking? Who told us this, you know? Who told us it would feel the same to me as it feels to my spouse, you know? And all of these things somehow come into question simply by the fact of having a baby. I mean, many a feminist has lost her feminist convictions when a new baby is placed in her arms. And so there's a way in which the natural family does reassert itself simply because the body becomes engaged in parenthood in a way that nothing else does. And that's why there are two things that are really dangerous to us and that are really giving us problems. One is the postponement of childbearing until the age of, you know, 30 or something on the part of the leadership classes. As that becomes normative, that means that there are people who have high education, positions of a lot of influence, who are doing things and who are believing things and who are acting on beliefs that are simply not true. And they're able to do a lot of damage in their 30s before they realize what they've done, you know. And I would certainly put myself in that category of you know, having to be kind of retrain myself after I had kids and saw what it was all about. So that postponement of first childbirth allows a lot of ideology to sneak through that wouldn't be sneaking through if people were having their first baby at 25. And the other thing that's happening is people reproducing through third-party assistance and three-party reproductive means. We don't know all the implications of third-party reproduction, Todd. It's way too soon to know. And honestly, I think it's appalling that we're experimenting on ourselves and our children this way, when given that we don't know. But the fact is, we don't know what the bonding is like when your child has been gestated by a woman in India whom you've never met. You know, we don't know what that's doing to the experience of parenthood, and what that's doing to the kind of transformative power of parenthood may simply not be the same if it's got this commercial aspect to it. And so that too is a much more radical kind of thing than a lot of the things that we've been doing, and we may not be able to bounce back from that in quite the same way.
Another figure here from the AP Press WeTV poll says, among men under the age of 35, kind of going to the question of how long people are delaying parenthood, 91% are dads already, or they say that they would like to have children someday. We often talk about how the delay in the age of childbirth affects women. How do you think it affects men to wait until you're 30 or 40 to decide to have children?
So wait, you've got guys who are 35 and under saying either they are fathers or they want to be fathers.
Yeah, they want to be fathers.
35 and under group. But, I see. So what does it do to them to delay? Well, I think one of the biggest thing that it does is that it delays their full process of maturation. I mean, I think fatherhood, and particularly married fatherhood, forces a man to grow up in a way that no other experience does. And in fact, unmarried fatherhood, where the woman's on her own and the father's disengaged, that is a kind of additional kind of adolescence, right? That's perpetuating the adolescent experience, the irresponsible experience. But to be married and to be a father is to wake up one day and realize that you really, truly are responsible for somebody other than yourself. And that's a big shock for men, a lot of men. And for some men, it's a welcome shock. You know, they understand that this is going, that something like this might happen. Their dad maybe told them this might happen. I mean, it's a welcome thing for them. But I think for most men, it's something different has happened, and your childhood is definitely behind you when you become a father. And so putting off the age of first fatherhood, I think, really is slowing down the maturation process of a lot of men, which the men themselves eventually come to realize and figure out and say, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking? No, kind of a thing.
So what's the bottom line for you? We've only got about a minute here. What's the bottom line for you in the latest survey that shows that men do, on the whole, long to be dads if they aren't already?
Well, I think it's a hopeful thing, actually, because it means that men are not simply the brutes that we're being shown on TV. It means that there are hopefully some marriageable men out there, and I hope, certainly, that the men who are saying this are then taking the next step of reflecting on what it means for them to actually carry out that aspiration, and that the women around them can look to them and say, wow, maybe this person, although he's not perfect, maybe this person would be a good dad and a good mate for me. I hope there's some hopefulness to this poll.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Carol Tobias. She's president of National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. Yesterday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill, the Payne Unborn Child Protection Act, dealing with what was called pain-capable unborn children. We'll find out what the bill is and whether it's a step forward for the pro-life cause. Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a Mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.